It was my place last Sunday to have the lesson, and the lesson that I was given, or the assignment I was given last Sunday, was it is the gift of God, and it is from Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Well, I was able to get Mark Nichols to take the lesson for me, and so I kind of put it up and forgot about it until I got it this morning and realized I had it tonight. So anyway, I went home and put some touches on it, and we're going to talk about the assignment that I had last week. It is the gift of God. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We've got about four things here that is very important in this verse that we need to understand, and we need to understand these before we're able to understand what Paul is saying. The first word is grace. The second word is saved. The third word is faith. And the last word is works. By grace you are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Every man is lost. You know, Romans 3 and 10 said there's no unrighteous, no, not one. Romans 3 and 23 says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All men, all humanity has missed the mark. All men have transgressed the law of God, and transgression calls for condemnation. That's the way God set it up. And although there is a difference that man has put in sin and the different levels and different degrees of sin, in the eyes of God, there's actually no difference in those that commit the very worst sin and those that commit a very little sin. So of the best man and the worst man, in the eyes of God, we are all equal because we have all sinned. We have all come short of the glory of God, and we are all in line for condemnation. And we need to realize the enormity of sin. And before we can realize the importance of this verse, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, we need to realize that there is sin, that we are all guilty of sin, that we are all condemned because of sin, and that there's a penalty for sin that would be in place that we would all have to stand for were it not for this gift that is spoken about in Ephesians 2. Let's look first at the word grace. Grace is defined, and it comes from a Greek word, a word of charis, which helps us to understand a little bit by looking at the Greek word as to exactly what Paul was trying to talk about here. This word refers to one that would bestow or delight or cause something favorable to happen. The friendly disposition from which kindly acts proceed. It could include things such as graciousness, as loving kindness, goodwill. It could mean gratitude for favors or something that is given to us. But everything that it speaks about under this word is something of a favorable light, and it's something that would be wonderful. It's something that would be desirous to the recipient. In a spiritual context, when you take the word grace, you learn of something that is unmerited, something that is undeserved, and it is something that is given by God. It is a favor of God. The phrase free gift comes from the Greek word, which we translate as charismatic. Its word is charisma. It means grace gift or an unmerited gift. So this is the gift that we're speaking about here when we discover and talk about the word grace. It is something that God has offered to us. It is a gift that has been given to us. It is something that is favorable, and it is something that we desire. We love God because He first loved us, and God, through His love for us, gave us and offered us this grace. And it is the depth of God's grace that is important here, because God loved humanity so much, John 3:16 tells us, that He sent His Son to the earth so that His Son might die, His only begotten Son, so that He might give Himself for us. Paul, the statement in the New Testament he made him, says that Christ made Himself of no reputation. But when we look at what this word actually means, it means that Jesus and God divested Himself. He emptied Himself. He gave everything that He had so that mankind might have a hope and an opportunity of salvation. So we speak of grace as the gift that has been given to humanity. When God sent Jesus into the world, He offered him on the cross as to be a propitiation for our sin. Propitiation means atonement, justification, to make amends or a reparation or a compensation for the shortnesses that men, the shortcomings that man had and the sinfulness. It refers to a turning away of wrath. It refers to a payment for sin to justify the wrath that God demands, the justice that God demands from humanity. Because sin separates us from God, it also refers to a reconciliation to establish a close relationship so that man in his sin that has separated himself from the love of God through Jesus Christ as his propitiation, as his substitution offering, this death upon the cross, that man might be once again reconciled unto God. And this is the grace of God. It's the payment of a ransom. Because without Christ and without this propitiation and without the sacrifice that Jesus has made, Romans 6 and 17 says that we are all slaves of sin, we are sold under sin, and we have no opportunity or way that we can be reconciled with God that demands perfection and demands justice. So Titus 2 and 14 said that Jesus came to this earth, gave himself for us to redeem us of our iniquities. So we have received the grace of God. The grace of God is that Jesus came to this earth and through the blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without spot or blemish, that the blood of Jesus Christ has the ability to redeem us from the sins that we have brought upon ourselves, because as Ephesians says, we were dead in our trespasses, in our sin. We had no hope, no opportunity, no way to ever be reconciled with God. So the grace of God was extended to humanity through Jesus Christ, through his death, through his suffering, through this propitiation, through this appeasing to the justice of God. It was done through Jesus Christ. But not all accept. Christ offered himself as an atonement for the sins of man. But just because Christ offered himself as an atonement for the sins of man does not mean that all men accepts the atoning salvation that Jesus has offered. So the salvation, which is the second word that we're speaking about in this verse, or being saved, is a possibility that is available to us, but it is not an actuality of the sacrifice that Jesus makes. Let me put it this way. If the doctor has prescribed a medicine to you that you must take, and you must take all of the medicine if you're going to be cleansed of a disease, and you put the stopper in the bottle and put the medicine on the shelf and do not take the medicine, you will not receive any benefit from the medicine. And that's exactly what has happened here. Jesus offered himself as a propitiation for our sins. He was offered as a gift to allow us reconciliation. But just because Jesus offered and did his part, if we do not take advantage of the benefits of this offering, if we refuse it, then it's just like the medicine. It will do us absolutely no good. Because the medicine, regardless of its potency, if not taken, we will not get the benefit. God wants all men to be saved. 2 Peter 3 and 9. But in God's wisdom and in God's justice, he gives every man a choice. Just because salvation is offered and it is a gift, does not mean that we have to take it if we choose not to. It's like God extending a gift in his hand and says, here it is, you may have the gift. There are conditions. You don't deserve the gift, but if you want the gift, you may take the gift. It's made available to you with conditions, such as the gift that God has extended to us of salvation. Some men don't want the gift. Some people don't care about salvation. Some people are not concerned about it. The gift is given, but unless we accept the gift and the conditions of the gift, then it's not going to do us any good. The medicine is capped and setting on the shelf. God made it clear that the merits of his grace, this gift of grace, are available to those that obey his will and that want it. But unless we meet the conditions which God has established with this gift, and of course this being the plan of salvation, then we're not going to receive or to be allowed to have the gift. And of course the plan of salvation is to hear the word, believe the word, repent of our past sins, confess the name of Jesus, and be baptized for the remission of sins. Now, let's break this down a little bit more, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, so that we can understand exactly what Paul was talking about. For by grace are you saved through faith. Salvation is not of yourself. Salvation is the gift of God. Salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Now what it's talking about here, and you break it down in an English way and look at the verbs and the different parts of this sentence, what he is talking about here, the gift that is given here, is not faith. The gift of given here is salvation, and this salvation is available through the obedience to the gospel. We believe then that salvation is the gift of God. We do not believe that faith is the gift of God, which does not mean that if a man believes, then he is automatically saved. No, that's what the Calvinists will teach. But that's not what this verse teaches. This verse does not teach that faith is the gift. This verse teaches that salvation is the gift of God that is brought to man by grace and received by obedience to the gospel plan of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of God is salvation. The receiving of the gift is obtained by faith, which is reaching out to God to accept the gift that he has offered. Now we can go to other New Testament script passages and we can learn about other gifts that God has spoken about. We can go to John 4 and 10 and it speaks of a gift of God as being that of everlasting life. The gift of God is everlasting life. We can go to Acts 2.38 and we can understand that the gift of God is the Holy Spirit. We can go to Romans 5.15 and it speaks of the gift being something of justification or of righteous living. We can go to 2 Corinthians 9 and 15 and it speaks of a gift of God which is in fact Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made. It is a gift of God, but nowhere in the Bible is the word gift ever associated with the word faith. Faith is not the gift that God is speaking about. Faith is not the gift that Paul is speaking out in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Faith is in fact the hand of the heart that reaches out after hearing and accepts the gift that God is speaking about. Faith is man's response to God's offer and to his promise. Faith is taking God at his word and fully believing upon Jesus Christ. Faith is understanding who Jesus is, understanding what Jesus has done, understanding the meaning of the words that Jesus has said, to trust in Jesus, to believe in Jesus, to do what Jesus has said to do. That is the hand of faith reaching out, believing upon Jesus to accept this free gift of salvation that God has offered. Calvinists will teach something different. They will teach that all you have to do is believe, which means that they will say that the gift of God is believing, or the gift of God is faith. But that's not what Paul was saying here. You know, you go to Acts, the 30th chapter, and you learn about the Philippian jailer that asked, "What must I do to be saved?" And it was answered to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And then he goes on and baptizes the Philippian jailer and his family. You know, you can go to the second chapter of Acts, verses 37 and 38, where Jesus has talked to this great multitude of people. And he has convinced them and convicted them of what they had done by sacrificing and crucifying Jesus. And they said, "What can we do to be saved?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Peter didn't say just simply believe upon Jesus. The gift that was offered was salvation. It was salvation with a condition, which is the gospel plan, is what we teach is the gospel plan. to believe upon Jesus, to repent of what you have done, confess the name of Jesus as deity, the Son of God, and then be baptized for the remission of sin. And it's totally and completely at odds. It's 180 degrees as to what the Calvinists would teach, where they say simply believe, and faith or belief is the gift of God. God does the saving, man does the belief. Salvation is something that God and God only can do, and believing and faith and following the commandments that Jesus has given is something that only the sinner can do. The responsibility for believing and the acts of obedience to the gospel plan are activities that man must do, and these are not things that God is going to do for us. The gift is there. Salvation is there. Salvation has been offered. God has done his part, but he's not going to make us accept it. That is our choice. In Numbers 21, there were serpents that were biting the children of Israel, and when they bit them, it was an automatic death sentence. And so Moses said, "What can I do?" And God said, "You make a copy of this serpent and put it up on a stick." And he said, "When the children of Israel then are bitten by these poisonous serpents, have them look upon this copy, this replica that you have made, and they shall be healed." Now, do the Israelites have a part in this? They had to look. If they were bitten by the serpent, the poisonous serpent, if they did not go look upon that replica, that copy that Moses had made, they would die. But when they went and looked as they had been commanded, then God healed them. Their job was to look. God's job was to heal. And they did the looking, and God did the healing. Faith is what happens when an individual realizes that he needs the gift that God has given, and he desires the gift that God has offered, and he acknowledges that there's something he must do to accept this gift. Salvation is the work of God. Faith is wholly the responsibility of man. God alone does the saving. Man alone does the believing and follows the steps that are necessary. All men are responsible to believe. All men are commanded to believe and to repent. All men are commanded to do the steps of the gospel that has been given in New Testament Scripture. And those that do not, those that fail to, or those that ignore, are condemned, because all have failed and come short of the glory of God, and only by accepting the sacrifice of Jesus do they have a hope of salvation. Those that would say that faith is a gift of God is erroneous. It is not biblical. You know, you can also say that air is the gift of God, but air does you no good if you refuse to breathe it. Some would say that food is the gift of God, but food will do you no good if you do not eat it. Water is a gift of God, but it will do you no good if you do not drink it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God has promised to save those that would come to him through Christ. God has promised to save those that would be obedient to the gospel plan. God has promised those that he would do the saving, he would do the healing, but that man must do the believing, man must do the repenting, and man must follow the teachings and the steps of obedience that Jesus gave them. People must do the believing, and God will hold them responsible for whether they do what they have been told to do or not. In conclusion, salvation is the gift of God. It is not faith. Salvation is the gift of God that is brought to man by grace, and the faith would cause man to reach out to be obedient to the gospel steps that are given. Salvation, not faith, is the gift of God. And the only way to receive this is to do what God has told him to do. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 is not complicated. It's easy to understand. It's very straightforward. All you have to do is read it and see where the words are and where the emphasis is and you're able to understand that salvation, being saved, is the gift of God, and it is not faith. And until the theologians got into it and confused it and began to convolute it and to create their own interpretations, it was not complicated and people understood it. I had that. Last week, I had three women drive up to my house. They were Jehovah's Witnesses. And she was going to tell me and help me so that I would be able to receive this new kingdom that Jesus talks about in Matthew. And she began to talk about the kingdom. Well, the first thing I told her, she really needs to get over there and read Ephesians, and she would find out that that kingdom is the church, the body, and that it has been for many years, about 2,000. And I said, then if you want to know when the kingdom came in, you need to go to Acts and read Acts, and you'll find out that the church, people were baptized into the church on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago. And I said, then you really need to get over into the book of Galatians and read the first chapter where Paul says anything that is different from what we have taught is not a new, but it is in fact a perversion of the gospel that we have given you. And I said, Paul said, let anyone that would teach anything that is different that was taught in Galatians 1, but let them be accursed, even if they be an angel. Well, she slammed the car in gear and said, I can see right now it's not going to do me any good to talk with you. And she's absolutely right. It is nothing but a perversion. It's not complicated. It's not hard to understand. We just need to get all of this educated theology out of it and read the verses as to what they are, and we will understand it. The word, the gift of God, was never referred to as faith. The gift of God is salvation, and that is available through faith. And that concludes my remarks. Let's have a song of invitation.